Homeland. The youths of Eglinton won't put down their
CKLN listeners. It is the 23rd day of February 2010. This is your host BK, aka Black Krishna, for CKLN Radio, for CKLN Rude Awakening, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Apologize for being late. I was up north working on some music last night at a friend's place, and had trouble catching the appropriate transit down here. When I mean north, I mean, well, basically Bathurst and Lawrence feels like Thunder Bay to me because I don't go north of Bloor that much. But yeah, things always take longer than you expect. And one thing that did take longer than I expect is the subway service from, well, basically Bathurst Station across to Yonge. And then Yonge south to Yonge and Dundas here in downtown Toronto to get to Ryerson University. And I guess I'm comparing my adventures today with previous times when I've chosen to or had to take the subway to get here. And today I got here around 20 after 6, so 20 minutes late. But I have been here 10 minutes late or under, taking the very first subway that that was offered, the very first subway going south to Yonge and Dundas. And so I'm wondering, if is there an erosion in our TDC services, you know, and certainly this is not something the drivers control, but if there is an erosion in our services and there is an increase in our taxes, we got to figure out why. But here on Rude Awakening, On CKLN 88.1 FM, this is a community radio station, and yet I do talk about a lot of big issues, geopolitical issues, because in a globalizing world, in a world where we accept that globalization is happening and is something that that we have to address. It does affect us at the community and at the grassroots level. And so, in a nutshell, I do believe that there is a new world order. Just wrote a song, recorded a song last night called Death to the New World Order. Kind of a fun, catchy 21st century fight music track. Hope to have that for you folks soon. As a bootleg version out right now, but I did re-record it yesterday and cleaned it up, and it sounds pretty, pretty antsy. So even people who don't know about the New World Order, might listen to that song because they like it. And then at some point, get into it. If you recall, Eminem on the classic song Lose Yourself has a lyric where he says, "Make me king as we move toward it. New world order. A normal life is boring, but superstardom's close to postmortem," and so on. So it's out there, and as I've said to people, and as I'll do right now, the New World Order, by the way, basically colonial powers, historical families, intermarried families, who basically the Anglo-American establishment now, the British Empire and their American descendants, essentially collude to run the world and run the world using a central banking system that prints money from nothing and lends it to other institutions and or governments and then charges them interest and through that process enslaves them. So you can look into New World Order a lot more. There's a couple of different definitions. People like Noam Chomsky have written books referencing or called the New World Order, where they just basically say, look, it's the end of the 20th century, heading into the 21st, and changes are going to happen. The question is, are those changes sort of natural within a social system that, you know, allows for some inequities, but ultimately is the best, you know, that we have and the best that we can do? Or is the New World Order an engineered plan where instead of competing factions within this system, there's actually some sort of cohesion between them? And you can see evidence of both. I mean, if you look at a couple of different things, you can say, hey, it's all random. If you look at a couple of colluding things, like the fact that gas prices are always the same, and it doesn't appear that those oil companies are trying too hard to compete with each other, among other issues, then you can say, oh, okay, I kind of get where this is going. Or when you see Tiger Woods being, you know, handed, you know, universal coverage by the media, and when you see the lack of criticism in the media of things that even the public knows to criticize, you know, we may not be professional journalists, but we know enough to call BS BS. When the media doesn't, you know what their job is. It's to sell us BS in part. And some of the BS they're selling us is New World Order. So I'm just going to type in New World Order into Google. Basic mainstream sort of check. So, okay, so New World Order's here. And news. All right. New World Order doing a search on Google News. So here it is. All right. LRC, we have it boldly stated. The communist idea, the New World Order. So this is a before it's news beta libertarian website, but that's not really the most important indicator. Here we go. This is money. UK economy must face a new world order. Financial website. Recession triggers a, quote, new world order, report warns. Mirror.co.uk. It's a Daily Mirror paper similar to the Toronto Star in London, England. And UK economy must face the new world order again. Freemasonry hysteria sounds Jay-Z content. towards the arrival of a new world order. The chance for a new world order. Henry Kissinger from Asia Times Online. Let's see here. India Wire blog. This is just a big discrepancy between what traditional VC, its venture capital funds, want to see successful and what is possible in an independent film's New World Order. Oh, this is interesting. All right, now I got a little information here for you folks out there in CKLN radio listener land. Gideon Raikman in basically December 8th, 2008, wrote a blog called And Now for a World Government. And he wrote that, I'm just going to open it up here. Yeah, December 8th, 2008, and this is again, And Now for World Government by Gideon Raikman. Why am I referencing an article that's over a year old? Because it says, And Now for a World Government. And if that doesn't scare you out there, it should. You know, the further, the more you get to centralizing power globally in a few hands, the less accountable that power is to the people, and the less recourse the people have. So if here in Toronto we're pretty ticked off about how things are going, and there's a world government that's situated in, you know, Brussels or some other European capital that's very bureaucratic and that's run, you know, quite frankly, a lot like the EU is, where there's sort of a 27-member governing body and then a bunch of MPs or elected representatives who don't have much say. You know, basically what they do is the elected representatives are elected to implement the policy desired by the sort of permanent governing council. And so that's the global communist model they're trying to implement. But here it is, Financial Times, FT.com, Gideon Raikman, from December 8th, 2008, and then I'll reference why I'm referencing this now after doing a Google News search for the New World Order. And Now for a World Government by Gideon Raikman. I have never believed there is a secret United Nations plot to take over the U.S. I have never seen black helicopters hovering in the sky above Montana. But for the first time in my life, I think the formation of some sort of world government is plausible. Not possible, plausible. Back to the article. A, quote, world government would involve much more than cooperation between nations. It would be an entity with state-like characteristics backed by a body of laws. The European Union has already set up a continental government for 27 countries, which would be a model. The EU has a Supreme Court, a currency, thousands of pages of law, a large civil service, and the ability to deploy military force. So could the European model go global? There are three reasons for thinking that it might. First, it is increasingly clear that the most difficult issues facing national governments are international in nature. There is global warming, a global financial crisis, and a, quote, global war on terror. So there you go. Those are the three weapons. The global recession to scare all of us into doing whatever the TV asks us to. Global warming, climate change, the fear that in 20 years the Earth's temperature will rise by a degree and we're all going to drown. Sucking up our resources, sucking up our energy, sucking up our goodwill right now with no proof that it's happening. No credible proof that it's happening, considering the fact that every time the global warming Holocaust promoters offer their side of the story, it is rebutted by people that they refuse to debate, including other climate scientists, veteran climate scientists like Professor Tim Ball, who I've interviewed a couple of times, Professor Timothy Ball, who, again, been a climate scientist for 30, 40 years, all of a sudden comes out against this, and people say he's a fraud, he's a fake, he was never, like he was playing Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can for the last 30, 40 years, teaching classes, going to seminars, traveling the world, publishing peer-reviewed papers, and on and on and on. So he totally, and then now, dude's retired in his 60s, and decides to go, you know what, I understand the science, this global warming, climate change crap is all crap, and carbon dioxide, the same stuff that we exhale, that plants breathe to produce oxygen, is not something we should be worried about. In fact, warmer periods throughout history, at least the history of the Earth as best we understand it, have actually resulted in more life, in more plants and animals, and in better living conditions for all the creatures of Earth, and ostensibly for the Earth itself. So we shouldn't be worrying about this sort of thing. Check out Google ClimateGate if you want more. The ClimateGate emails blew that one open. But okay, so there's global warming, a global financial crisis, and the global war on terror. 9/11 was an inside job. We are in the middle of a prorogued parliament here in Canada during the Winter Olympics when Stephen Harper has basically sole control of the country because he kicked out his opposition and said, go home for 3 months. We want to make sure that when you come back, you are completely ineffective. And so Heil Harper has been working to do that by stacking the Senate with another five senators, I believe, to increase his total like 33 in the last few years. Handpicked yes men for Harper, more or less. So this is the beginning of the article by Gideon Raikman in the Financial Times from December 8, 2008, where he says, just right on the open, and now for world government. And if you stare at the picture, it's caveman drawings heading towards a globe. Kind of a black and white illustration, implying that this is the evolution of the world. Basically, we started off drawing in caves, and now we're heading towards a unified global system where we're all kind of in it together in a world government. So I bring this up right now because back at blogs.ft.com. The Financial Times blog section, there is a new article. Now, 1 year and 2 months later, excuse me, and it's entitled World Government, Alex Jones, and Me by, again, Gideon Raikman. And he's referencing an article that he wrote basically 14 months ago because of the response from people like myself, other listeners to the Alex Jones radio show, and other people who do believe that world government's a bad idea and who do research the fact that the only reason it's being discussed now is because it's being set up in secret for the last 50, 60, 100 years, depending on, you know, how you look at the plans. And so let's get to the article by Mr. Raikman here. World Government, Alex Jones, and Me, February 22nd, 2010, 6:19 p.m. To this day, the most successful article I have ever written was a column called, quote, "And Now for a World Government." That was the one I was just referencing. By successful, I don't mean that it was a particularly good article. This is, quote, success defined in terms of internet hits. I noticed the other day that if I type my name into Google, one of the first popular searches suggested is Gideon Raikman World Government, which yields over 40,000 results. Gideon Raikman and New World Order produces 844,000 results. Slightly weirder, another popular search seems to be Gideon Raikman Jewish which produces over 15,000 hits. And it's true, there are people out there that do, you know, try and reverse engineer all the conspiracies into being something that's, you know, run by Jewish people. Others say Catholics and the Jesuits and so on. But those people are very dangerous in their misguided thinking because, you know, they don't look at the system. They look at the parts of the system that fit their theory. Kind of like with 9/11, where the 9/11 Commission was basically told, look, Bin Laden did this. You prove it. And if any evidence contradicts that, it's not worth considering because, you know, we already have the story. And so there are people who do that when it comes to saying Jews run the world or Catholics run the world or alien lizards run the world or whatever. It's all insanity. In fact, basically, regardless of who it is at the very, very top, controlling the puppet strings, you know, rising out of a dark, you know, steaming tar pit, in an ethereal fashion. Regardless of all that nonsense, we can clearly see the people, you know, at the levels that we can see on a consistent basis are working together. And so, you know, they are all guilty of colluding to perpetuate a system that creates incredible inequity, that's full of theft, corruption, murder. You know, they give us some fun stuff to play with to distract us from all that, but every time we pay attention, we can see it, and every time we shy from it, we make that a habit, and so it can get worse, and we continually retreat into fantasy land. So, back to the article, Mr. Rakeman's talking about how he wrote that article, and it's the most successful one he's done in terms of people being interested in it, and he's talking about how people are looking at him up on the internets. But again, this is a way of framing the article, because, you know, if he says... Gideon Rakeman, world government, 40,000 results. Gideon Rakeman, new world order, 840,000 results. And then Gideon Rakeman, Jewish, 15,000 hits. If you read after this second paragraph, that framing will make you want to reject it. Because, and reject the people that are searching for these terms on the internet or researching this at all on the internet. Because you don't want to be associated with anti-Semitism. And I got another good friend of mine who works in a mainstream newspaper in this city, and not going to reveal anything, but basically the bottom line is we went to a place where had a few drinks and there was bottle service, and he did a column about it, and his friends all said to him, hey, you know, you like drinking, what's the deal? And and he says his editor basically took his article, and it was basically about, ah, this is all right, a little too pricey, but, you know, if you can afford it, it's good, and the place and the service was nice. But he also had to get a quote about responsible drinking just to get the quote on, you know, other side of the story from Mothers Against Drunk Driving. He'd put that in a place in the article where it kind of flowed, you know, more than what he was meaning. His editor had moved that quote up to near the top of the article. So after the first, you know, paragraph or few sentences, the Mothers Against Drunk Driving quote kicked in, and then the rest of the article read like it was a hit piece on the idea of this bar doing what it does and bottle service and so on. And so his friends are saying to him, what the hell's up with you? Like, you don't even, this doesn't sound like you. And he basically explained that that's what happened, that you know, not for any nefarious reason, perhaps, or maybe, who knows, but his editor had in fact changed the tone of his story by placing the Mothers Against Drunk Driving quote, this is so bad, people drinking too much are going to kill children, near the top of the article. And then as the article proceeded to describe the place that we visited, it was seen in a bad light. So anyway, that's a technique, simple technique. You can look into more on whether or not that is a technique on your own. But hey, as your host here on CKLN Radio, as your host BK, aka Black Krishna, you're just going to have to take my word for this. Not take my word for it. You're going to have to see if any of these ideas make sense when you apply them to the real world. This is not metaphysical. This is not a catch-all explanation. This is, well, all right, now that you understand this is how the media could work, do you see this theory applying when you apply it to things that you consume that are given to us by the media? So something to keep in mind. But back to the article. Again, Mr. Rakeman talks about And Now for World Government, article he wrote 14 months ago. People searching for it online. Next, the common thread, I think, is that my world government piece was picked up by the loony right in America as grist for their conspiracy theory that there is a secret plot to create a world government and to deprive Americans of their freedom. At the time the article was published, there was a particularly persistent radio host who kept trying to interview me by the name of Alex Jones. Something about him made me decide to steer clear. Maybe it was the crazed tone of the messages left on my answering machine. Maybe it was the fact that his program is called Prison Planet. I had a vision of a shaven-headed nutcase speed-dialing me from a cell in San Quentin. But it seems I was wrong. Alex Jones is at large and broadcasting from a radio station in Texas. He is, according to this article, the host of the, quote, most popular conspiracy radio talk program in America. And that article is from Texas Monthly, a local, you know, mainstream paper in Texas. This may sound like a rather small niche, but it isn't. Jones has a big following. He also feels a lively sense of rivalry with the much more famous right-wing ranter Glenn Beck. Jones simultaneously denounces Beck as a sellout and accuses him of plagiarizing all his own best ideas. So, again, it makes it seem like Jones is contradicting himself, but he's not. You know, Alex Jones can call Fox News host Fox News fake libertarian, fake right-wing, designed to fool the right-wing and to be a character that the left demonizes to believe in their own corrupt leadership. You can be a sellout and you can plagiarize somebody because you're doing more than one thing. You could plagiarize my work and then twist and distort it. I talk about the New World Order. I make music about these issues. I introduce a lot of these ideas to people who haven't heard them before. Somebody could run with this and then just do it poorly or do it in a way that confuses people. And so that's Glenn Beck with relation to Alex Jones. But again, the media will spin things like this, or they'll call people, you know, flip-floppers, or people will accuse me of being contradictory. And in fact, I'm not contradicting myself in the way that I understand it, in the way that I explain it. I'm merely being creative by innovatively juxtaposing a couple of different ideas. So, you know, if I can tie in the Olympics to the war on terror, to the global warming, to world government, someone who has never done that before or never seen it done before might not see how they're related, but they can just call me confusing or contradictory because I do it. Or if I'm, you know, both for the media, because the media gives us a lot of rare stream news articles, and to say the media lies and they're all evil and blah, blah, blah is nonsense, especially with most quote-unquote conspiracy theorists get the majority of their content from the mainstream media. It's just rare mainstream news articles that are reported but not repeated. So we need the media, because otherwise we're just totally making it up. Right now we're piecing it together out of bits and pieces they give us by and large. But at the same time, as a whole, they do lie. As a whole, they are part of institutions that are designed to give us a reality that makes us easier to control on behalf of their corporate owners. So is that contradictory? Is that contradictory to say, well, the media gives us this, but at the same time they lie, but that's where I get my truth, but then they lie? Again, it's a process. It's a technique. How do you understand the world we live in today in a practical way that can help you influence it for the better for yourself and others? And if you fall into the definitions the media gives you, and if you are unable to learn to break free of those, then you will be unable to think of anything better than they give you. And that's the problem. So again, that's a bit on that issue, just to break down what I believe Mr. Gideon Raikman is doing here in this article. Basically designed to say, even though a lot of people are making a big deal out of my world government article, it's not that big a deal. So back to the article. Again, the rivalry between Glenn Beck and Alex Jones. The rivalry is telling, for Jones' rantings are not that far removed from the anti-government, anti-Obama conspiracy theories peddled by much more famous media personalities like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. Again, demonizing by association. If people on the left think that the quote-unquote right or libertarian states' rights movements and so on are run by whack jobs like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, and that's who it is, as opposed to people like, you know, Alex Jones and Webster Tarpley and Ron Paul and so on. If they think it's Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, then they will be obviously in favor of people like Obama and others on the left. And so that's why that's the false paradigm that's being set up. And here comes the coup de grace in this article. The rivalries telling for Jones' rantings are not far removed from the anti-government, anti-Obama conspiracy theories peddled by much more famous media personalities like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. And here it comes. And the theories of Jones himself are not far removed from those of the militia movement that came to prominence after the Oklahoma bombing. Here it comes. Like the Oklahoma bomber, Timothy McVeigh, Jones was radicalized by the FBI's bloody assault on the Branch Davidian Religious Sect in Waco, Texas in 1993. In fact, it seems to me that there is a thin but direct line of anti-government paranoia that leads you from Jones to Beck to the Tea Party movement that is now such a powerful force in U.S. politics. Or does that sound like a conspiracy theory? And again, if you thought about taking the criticisms of Mr. Raikman, his article about world government and world government in general seriously, at the end, wham, they bring up the fact that Timothy McVeigh, Oklahoma bombing, and you don't want to be a domestic terrorist, do you, by believing in these things? He's only, Oklahoma was an inside job. 9-11 was, but watch the movie 9-11 Road to Tyranny. Woke me up really kind of at first. I think it was probably in the summer of 2004, though it took a few months for it to sink in. But there was tons of local news in Oklahoma at the time, well before the media was as centralized. And so 3, 4, 5 TV stations, a few newspapers, a few radio stations, all trying to get to the bottom of the Oklahoma bombing story. And boy, oh boy, did they uncover a whole bunch of stuff, including a bunch of cover-ups, witnesses saying they saw second and third bombs. They saw Muslim men in a Ryder truck, as well as Timothy McVeigh there. Timothy McVeigh's colleague, Terry Nichols, was actually testifying that McVeigh was a government agent, which also came out later because his military photos were released and so on. But Terry Nichols said that, yeah, there were people working with him, and he was put out to it by the government, and then he was gagged by the government. So, again, if you got something to say that contradicts the official story they're using, that they're using here 17 years later, you know, all you have to do is say the Oklahoma bombing, and everybody goes, ah, Oklahoma bombing. That's right, right-wing militia terrorists, so evil. And it becomes a meme. It becomes something they introduce into our society. So, again, a very carefully written article by Mr. Raikman today, basically, or yesterday, rather, just to take some of the heat off these ideas. Although I'd like to thank him for the original article. I've referenced it several times, and now for world government. And I figure if they're going to come out that much in the open and say it, we can at least talk about it with other people to see if they want it. And by and large, most people don't. Oh, you can't chat so much. You can't turn up the mouth. You can't do DJ. No higher. Well, shut up, make I do it. Galang with the pan top. Hold the lip. But that is on Gideon Raikman and world government. Charleston Gazette, New World Order, tons and tons of New World Order stuff here. CBS News, Ken Feinberg on holding the purse strings. Again, this is from CBSNews.com. Bankers probably have other names for him. Most recently, armed with a congressional statute, he showed the masters of the universe, the New World Order, slashing pay and perks at financial institutions that took federal bailout money. So again, this is Richard Schlesinger, basically a banking czar. It basically says here, attorney to decide compensation for tragedies and crimes now determines how much bailed out bankers are paid. So the bankers are, it says here, slashed the pay of the masters of the universe, the New World Order. So now they're casually referencing it. So you got Gideon Raikman saying, you know, it's kind of a joke to talk about world government and this conspiracy behind the scenes. And then at the same time, you have the people behind the scenes introducing the New World Order to us, movies like National Treasure, in the Dan Brown Da Vinci Code books, and in articles on a regular basis. So by the time I tell you about the New World Order, if I run into you, you're going to go, yeah, I know about that. Yeah, things are changing. Yeah, you know, there are powerful people on top, and you know, they kind of run things, and that's just the way it goes. And so the shadow conspiracy will be here before you know it. But here on the cover of the Metro, it says here, and this is, again, the Metro, the world's largest global newspaper in Toronto's free edition affiliated with the Toronto Star, Olympics, Flamenco on Ice. Vanessa Corona Varora and Paul Poirier of Unionville performed their flamenco dance. So happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy on the cover of the Metro. This is what we're supposed to focus on, folks. And if you're heading to work and you're reading the Metro today, basically it's going to soften your brain so that you won't be able to deal with the real serious crisis-ridden era we're in, and the real serious crises being foisted on us by the people in charge of the world. Uplifting music. Students sang songs to keep spirits up after ship sank. That's right. There was a ship that sank here, and they kept singing crazy songs. 64 people survived off the Brazilian coast. Basically, a ship turning over in windy and rough waters. And so that's, again, a happy, happy joy story there. Sad story. But they did talk about how for 40 hours or so, people in different life rafts were singing. And that'll be something we talk about, because it's on the cover. And people would say, gee, what music would you sing if you were on a life raft, and so on. So these are the topics we're given to talk about, to make sure that we don't get, you know, any practice talking about serious issues to the point where we're good enough to explain them and figure out what's really going on, and complain about the way we're being screwed by our elected officials. Report slams status of women. Canada won't be winning many medals next month when the United Nations takes stock of women's equality around the world, according to a new report that charts, quote, systematic erosion in the status of Canadian women since 2004. So, again, there's all these reports there. What the nature of this report is hard to say. Definitely not anti-women, definitely not anti-human at all, but I do know that the New World Order works in terms of problem, reaction, solution. So, you know, if they are identifying this problem, as opposed to, say, you know, child poverty, you know, homelessness, and so on, the brutal conditions in our prison system that just produce more recidivism and create criminals out of nonviolent offenders that then threaten society, if they ignore all that crap to have sort of, you know, soft and fluffy UN-sponsored social engineering projects here, then you have to ask why. The Sting reports, which cites backward progress in everything from pay equity to child care, was prepared by an alliance of feminist and labor activists to counter the more flattering picture the federal government, conservative government, presented to the UN for its assessment. So, it's been 15 years since the huge Beijing Conference on Women in 1995, which laid out plans of action for all participating nations, including Canada. So, 15 years ago, countries got their marching orders from the UN, and we're starting to see more and more of that implementation out in public. It's been going on behind the scenes for years. You can check. There's sort of a parallel office at the UN that manages nearly every aspect of regulations and rules and laws for every city in the world where countries are UN members. And so, you know, building code, regulations, and all that being decided by the UN as they rise towards full power. Likely by 2012, and remember the movie posters, 2012, we were warned where the UN will likely take their full power as the governing body of a world government. You know, it's argued that real progress had been made in getting more women to the universities and the workforce, for instance. Prime Minister Stephen Harper, in his own report card submitted for this session, argued, quote, there are many positive stories to tell, quote, about women and their place in Canadian society. What does that mean? There are many positive stories to tell. You know, that's the type of nonsense where they can just get away with saying, well, lots of good things have been done. And missing the details, you know, we don't know what they are, and then we eventually don't care. Backbencher pushes TDC bill. David Kaplan issues a bill to declare transit essential. TDC is under attack, folks. And look, I'm a fan of the TDC, just because I've lived here and I've gotten used to it and so on. I do understand it has its drawbacks. And, of course, it, like everything else in this country that's government-related, is poorly run. But taking away their right to strike, as it says here, a bid by Liberal backbencher David Kaplan to have the Toronto Trans Commission declare an essential service passed an initial hurdle yesterday, even as the province warned it wasn't a move it would ultimately support. Taking away their right to strike is very, very dangerous, because once you take away one group's right to strike, you take away everyone's right to strike incrementally by introducing the idea that you can take away groups' rights to strike. So the TDC union, like every other union, should be able to strike. If not, then when the government asks them to do stuff, and that stuff is pretty evil, they won't have any recourse without possibly losing their jobs. So very dangerous stuff. Keep an eye on that. And it says here, Transportation Minister Kathleen Wynne said it didn't reflect the Ontario government's position. Our position remains the same. Municipalities would have to ask for that action, and that has not happened. So, yeah, and they're talking about wildcat strikes and so on. Bankers hike reward for armed bandits. Canadian Bank Association has increased reward to $50,000 for three bandits police suspect in eight armed bank robberies. So the award's gone up from $10,000 to $50,000. And if you see, if you want to check out the Canadian Bankers Association, see what they have to say about this and see if you can pick up that award and see who the hell they are. Didn't even know there was a Canadian Bankers Association, but now apparently they are coming to light and they're making their presence more known. But what are we supposed to look at? What are we supposed to look at? Well, I'm looking at basically six cute middle-aged white chicks. That's what I'm staring at. And this is on page 3 of the Metro Theater, Canadian Girls, a comedy about, six fairly hot, almost naked white chicks is what I'm looking at on page 3 of the Metro. A comedy about a bunch of British women who pose nude for a charity calendar will be mounted by Mervish Productions next year. Mervish revealed its full 2010-2011 subscription season yesterday, and Calendar Girls was among the titles that hadn't been previously announced. Calendar Girls, inspired by the story of Angela Baker of North Yorkshire, England, whose husband died from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma over a decade ago. Her story was made into a stage show that will make its North American premiere with a Canadian cast in Toronto in April 2011. And, yeah, I do remember this story a couple years ago where these women did pose sort of naked, middle-aged, older women posed naked for charity to help cure cancer. Number of problems with this. One, sex sells, and sex is being sold to us to distract us constantly. Look Good Naked Canada ads, Look Good Naked Canada TV show. Saw some filming in the Ian Center, tall, good-looking brown dude interviewing a bunch of girls, cute girls on you know, how much fun it is to look good naked. And women out there of all ages, so much pressure. Again, problem, reaction, solution. They create pressure over the last 20 years, where if you don't look good, then you're a pariah, and your whole esteem is based in your looks. And then as you get older and they naturally fade, you get depressed. But now they're whacking us with the reaction and the solution. And the reaction and solution is everybody act like, self-obsessed, vain, neurotic individuals. And that's the plan. So now you get people in their 40s, 50s, 60s worrying about what they look like naked. And basically after you're about 20, 25, 30, that shouldn't be your main concern. You know, you want to stay in shape, you want to look good, you want your clothes to fit fine, but you know, you should be, you know, theoretically with someone in a family unit at that point, where, you know, you kind of want each other to look good, but you don't make that your obsession. And you'll get happy couples out there. The happiest couples out there don't make that an obsession because it's a losing proposition. So, but no, good on these ladies for doing their thing as actresses and so on. But we have to keep in mind that the people out there that are doing this to make a living or to express themselves creatively, that are investing some time and energy and trying to put on a good show, you know, that's fine. That's all well and good. But why are these ideas promoted to us is something that we have to worry about here in, listener land, viewer land, in audience land, and so on. So Toronto warns the feds, Toronto warns feds that city won't bear burden of summit cost overruns. So the G20 summit is going to grip the downtown core June 26th and 27th. And the city has said that, we're not paying for any cost overruns beyond your budget. The federal government has to. Again, folks, get prepared for the G20 showing up here in Toronto at TorontoTruthSeekers.com. We're making some rumblings about starting to plan for that. I've been making those rumblings for a while now, but to be perfectly honest, it is very hard to get people to do stuff today. People will learn out the wazoo. People will learn. But going from learning to thinking, where instead of just learning what something is and then repeating it, thinking of what something is and then thinking of what to do about it. That process is something that we're just not very good at. We're not good at discussing it. We're not good, and I'm talking about in general, our culture is just not good at doing this at all. It says here, Quebec City workers call for salary hike as 3,000 union workers walked to the Quebec legislature yesterday in Quebec City. The workers are looking for an 11.25% salary increase over 3 years to catch up to other public sector workers elsewhere in Canada, union representatives said. So the French will do this, and there are certainly strikes in France that go on a regular basis. Over a million, some say 2 million people took the streets last year in January, about a year ago this time, to deal with the recession that whacked them pretty hard initially. So, but here we're just not that good at doing that. We are trying to get better at doing that. We should all try and get better at doing that. It's a simple matter of logic and logistics. So you got logic. You got this new world order that controls everything. So logically, you got everything to work on. You want to decode the fashion industry, decode the music industry, decode the Hollywood industry, decode city, provincial, or federal politics, decode relationships and how they're, you know, manipulated, decode our education system, decode our healthcare system, decode our funding. There are a million things to work on with respect to dealing with this new world order problem, because they do have influence over everything that that we have to remove before that influence corrupts everything around us, and that corruption eventually gets to us. So again, TorontoTruthSeekers.com is a great place where we try and figure out how to do that. Really simple, folks, just share some info and share some solutions with people. Don't just say, fluoride in the water is bad. Tell somebody about a Berkey water filter or an Ecolo Blue water filter or any other reverse osmosis water filter that can get the fluoride out. Don't just say sex sells and you know, deal with it. Suggest that people need to find other ways of improving their self-esteem and maintaining their self-esteem. And one of those is seeing your value as a human being beyond what you look like or what you could afford to buy to be fashionable. COC Canada admits, COC, the Canadian Olympic Committee, admits Canada won't own the podium. And this is hilarious. We're going to be short of our goals, says CEO Chris Rudge at the team's briefing. Right now, Canada has 9 medals, tied for 5th with South Korea and Australia, and Austria, rather. Far behind the U.S. at 24, Germany 2nd at 21, then Norway and Russia. We'd be living in a fool's paradise if we said we were going to catch the Americans and win. We're not throwing in the towel. You'd hear that in the middle of a fight, but it's difficult. They're way ahead at this point. It would be unrealistic to say that we were going to catch them. And then it says here, it was like an elephant in the room when Rudge acknowledged Canada wasn't going to finish first at these games. That's the point. We got fluoride, we got aspartame, we got vaccines, we got a recession, we got children out there being attacked by the medical community, by the education system. We've got men that need to man up and defend the women and children of this country, especially if you're age 25 to 45. Because then you should have half a brain and half a pair and the energy and intelligence and will necessary to take on these issues. And for women and children and those older and younger, certainly seems like it's more optional than it is for those in the sweet spot. So here, while the Olympics is going on, while people are breaking out their favorite Canadian colors, think about this or maybe try and help people think about this Canadian issue and being proud of the country and being proud of what we accomplish on a deeper level than simply cheering for the latest athlete in a corporate logo. We spent $117 million on our athletes for this little 3-week celebration. $66 million of it was taxpayer dollars. So $66 million to try and help train and support these athletes, including a massive bureaucracy behind them that does some good work and a lot of nothing. As I've read about before. And so $66 million of our tax money during a recession was spent to promote Team Canada. What does that mean? Does that mean I'll make this argument. If I make the argument we shouldn't have spent it on that, and then people will say then we would be sucky at the Olympics and that would suck, that reflects their defense of the general Canadian culture. Basically, the media, our corporate corporate media and government working together hand in hand say, okay, all of us are going to cheer for the Olympics now. And then all of us say, okay, I guess that's what all of us are doing. Let's hope this goes well. And so we got to start defending decisions possibly a bit more objectively than saying, what? We're all supposed to cheer for the Olympics. Isn't it better if we do well? You know, and start saying, you know, the idea that we're all supposed to cheer for this is flawed. The idea that the Olympics itself is a good thing is flawed. Just look into the history of it. Look into its biggest promoter, Adolf Hitler, who designed the Olympic rings that are still in use today, symbolizing a new world order that he wanted to create with five interconnected continents, or regions, rather. And if I say that $66 million could have been used to feed, 100,000 starving children in this country for, you know, say 6 months, and I put that against the idea of the Olympics in general, what will people choose as being most important and more worth doing? In our culture right now, I can say for sure it's the Olympics. It's just, this is how the media works. They make things important for us that aren't important. So we got to pay attention to things that are going on that are important ourselves, including things in our own environment. You can see bits and pieces of the Matrix everywhere as it's increasingly coming into view. Global business village, global sustainability, global this, global that. You know, all these ideas being reinforced. Again, Fido's now got green phones. Everybody's going green. So we can see what ideas, what recurring memes are being put into our culture to manipulate our priorities, which at this point are increasingly becoming less so each other and less so other individuals who are not well off in the society. James Traficant, former Congressman James Traficant, railroaded by the U.S. government for successfully fighting the U.S. government for the rights of American citizens. Again, this former Congressman James Traficant survived several years in prison, is now out again. And he says, he quoted Nelson Mandela saying, "You don't know a country's character unless you've, you know, seriously looked into their prison system." And the Canadian prison system is god-awful. Prisoners Justice Day comes up every year. Did an interview with Connor McCullough from PASAN, P-A-S-A-N. It's basically an HIV support network and prisoner support network. And between the interview with him and other corroborations, our prison system in this country is absolutely horrible. I've gone over before in this recent run of Rude Awakening shows as well. And so keep in mind that when that's going on, you can't trust the government when they all say, you know, let's cheer for X, Y, and Z as a distraction. During the fall of Rome, the poet Juvenal noted that all the people wanted was bread and circuses. We can't turn into those people as new Rome is being taken out from under us. Approval should spur job growth. Feds finalize stimulus allotment. The federal government says it's finished deciding who gets what under key parts of its massive stimulus program in a tidal wave of approvals that should propel a spring job surge. Now, philosophically, we're being sold the idea that that bailouts are good to create jobs, and that it's good for the government to create jobs. However, truth be told is this. Whenever the government tries to create jobs, like the 23, 24 trillion, probably 28, 29 trillion now, bailout in the States, they do a horrible job. Whenever government cuts taxes and then allows individuals to have more money to apply their innovation creatively, that always works better. So we're being sold, government needs to create more jobs, we're all screwed, government needs to create more jobs, we're all screwed. While eventually having the government hand you a shovel and saying, we need a ditch and there's your job, you know, you won't find that quite as fulfilling as having the creative, resourceful, hardworking members of your culture and your society come up with new ways to make money, new ways to provide services, and new ways to facilitate a comfortable working environment. That would be more ideal. So do not get fooled as here in communist Canada, the final steps of things like the North American Union and our obligations to back up UN treaties, do not be fooled by the philosophical frameworks they're selling us. Governments creating jobs doesn't work. First of all, they never create enough. Second of all, the jobs suck. Third of all, a ton of money is wasted in the process, which only leads to more taxes later, which only takes money away from any jobs that you do have and any salaries you do get for going to work. Back to this. Let's see here. Mistaken NATO-Afghan airstrike kills civilians. NATO jets mistakenly killed at least 21 people in central Afghanistan, officials said yesterday. The deadliest attack on civilians in 6 months. The strike prompted a sharp rebuke from the Afghan government as it struggles to win public backing for a major military offensive against the Taliban in the south. How many... They've said major military offensive against the Taliban in the south so many times that it now becomes just sort of what they're doing. You know, when they just launch major military offensives against handfuls of locals fighting for their country, handfuls of goat herders and tribesmen and ordinary people just like yourself and myself in a country that's been under attack for basically eight and a half years right now since October 2001. Again, 9/11 is an inside job. The war on terror is a joke. And this says, also yesterday, a suicide bomber detonated explosives at a community meeting in eastern Afghanistan, killing 15 civilians, including a prominent tribal leader, widely criticized for failing to prevent Osama bin Laden's escape at Tora Bora after the September 11th, 2001 attacks. So that's just them slipping in a little more, please believe the official story of 9/11. You know, they just sort of made this up. They didn't give the guy's name. They didn't, in this article anyway. And they just said, a guy was killed as part of this suicide bombing thing. He was one of the guys who helped Osama escape because of 9/11. And they could just say that. And if they just say that, they incrementally reinforce the official story of 9/11. Again, the war on terror rapture takes our rights. The global warming rapture takes our stuff. So do not let yourself be fooled by either one of these. I've been saying that for a few years. And the reason I've been saying that for a few years is everyone I say it to kind of understands it and kind of agrees that they can see it happening, especially now here in 2010 as we head deeper and deeper into the new world order. Let's see here. New U.S. health plan. Obama introduces $1 trillion proposal. This is rich. And they keep making this Obama's plan. And this is why they sold Obama so hard. This is not Obama's plan. This is a plan by large drug and insurance companies. And Obama is the salesman. He's a salesman. Obama is the latest in a long line of salesmen for the New World Order to sell the next part of the agenda. This time, to go for broke, basically. My read on Obama with the way he was promoted globally, I mean, nobody got this much love. The last leader to get this much love globally was Adolf Hitler. Two-time magazine Man of the Year covers in a row. International glowing coverage of who he was and his strengths as a leader. Germany hosting the Olympics. Again, the last time a leader was worshipped like this, it was Adolf Hitler, and that wasn't good. And Obama's not Hitler, but again, he's Hitler in the same way that Hitler was in many ways, save for the specific Nazi philosophies. But he is the salesman for a genocidal plan of the people behind him who continue to fund and support his insanity. And with Barack Obama, what's his insanity? How can I compare him to Hitler? Well, he promised to end the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, hasn't come close to trying. Promised to end the practice of torture, hasn't come close to trying, has only expanded it. And only expanded the wars, by the way. They've gotten worse. So if people were being killed at a genocidal and criminal rate before, innocent people in these countries, if they're being poisoned with depleted uranium, if women out there, if one in four children was born with a birth defect, two heads, four eyes, just crazy stuff from the radiation poisoning from all the combat. And of course, if the soldiers are being also killed off or sickened and weakened in the same way, Obama's made all that worse. Excuse me for 1 second. Hello? Good morning, folks. Sorry about that. I did just get a phone call, and I forgot to do something very in mid-rant here. This is BK, your host of Rude Awakening, a new show from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. And then there's another one, Wednesdays and Fridays. However, Mr. Colin Smith is your jazz host of One Flight Up, and I'm terribly sorry to all you people out there who love his brilliant work as a jazz host here at CKLN Radio, but he's simply not in the building yet, and I haven't heard from him so far here at the station. So I'll be filling in a little bit right now. I'll probably, you know, leave in like 5 minutes and just let some music run. But as long as I have the opportunity to be on the air and to share a bit of information, then I think I'm going to do that. Although, if and a gentleman just called in and asked to speak to Colin right now, which reminded me that Mr. Smith is not in the building and should be. And so I'm just basically filling in here for him until that time. I think, though, I will try and find a jazz CD. Let me just wrap up this last little bit here, as opposed to picking on Obama for people that aren't used to hearing someone pick on Obama. But everything I say is as true as I could research it, folks, so I apologize. Bottom line with healthcare, socialized healthcare, $1 trillion plan. It says here, the president's plan includes a provision to allow the government to deny or roll back egregious increases that infuriate consumers, an idea bound to resonate with Americans fed up with insurance companies. So basically, the last bill, they're basically admitting the last bill was a giveaway to the insurance companies, was a criminal tax grab, and this new one would be less so. Estimated cost $1 trillion over 10 years, and in the funny fiat money system, who the heck knows? CIA planes landed in Poland, data, saving tigers, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Final article I'll read here from the Metro, because I could go on and on about all this nonsense. PM can't compare to Bully Brown. British Prime Minister, and this is again, this is an article by Lawrence Martin on page 11 of the Metro. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown treated staff so harshly, it is revealed that some of them contacted the National Bullying Helpline for assistance in dealing with him. The revelation follows a publication of a book revealing all sorts of tantrums by the Prime Minister, grabbing staffers by the lapels, pulling them out of chairs, punching walls, and we all thought Brown was a staid economist, duller than dishwater. So, basically, the Prime Minister Gordon Brown's a bully and a jerk. Now that the news is out, Brown spinners, while denying some of the allegations, are trying to work the story in their favor. These outbursts show a tough-minded leader at work, his PR men say, so dedicated to solving the nation's problems that he's sometimes overcome by emotion. The tactic, the humanizing of a robotic leader, might even work, or the British might buy the take of opposition conservatives. This shows Brown is an unstable bully, unfit for high office. The revelations from across the pond will likely be greeted with some relief in the office of Stephen Harper, a prime minister painted as somewhat of a bully himself. It's always comforting to have the focus move to others, to have your own alleged faults be seen as commonplace. So again, Brown being a jerk is being used here by our media to justify Stephen Harper being a jerk. Interviews with many who have worked in the Harper PMO, Prime Minister's office, reveal that he can be cold and severe and occasionally blow a gasket. But if the stories about Brown are true, it should be said that our Prime Minister isn't even in the same league. No staffers running the bully hotlines here. And so on and so forth. And we're seeing this a lot more. And the article goes on later. Let me go through a history of this sort of insanity. Nor have we seen a PM get so irate that, a la Jean Chrétien in 1996, he grabs a protester by the throat and hurls him to the ground. Nor does he appear to have the short fuse of a Brian Mulroney, who would go into frequent rages, or John Diefenbaker, who was a towering inferno of megalomania. Now let's get to the admissions about Harper. The issue with Harper is not whether he bullies staff. It's whether he bullies the system. It's whether his smearing of opponents, his inclination towards censorship and secrecy, his over-centralizing of powers, have downgraded democracy to an unprecedented degree. Really? We really should discuss this more, shouldn't we? The latest allegation suggests that his operatives have violated access to information regulations by delaying or blocking the release of potentially embarrassing government documents. Before this, we saw stories of how his political team crushed a Democratic challenge to the incumbent, to the nomination of incumbent MP Rob Anders in Calgary. Before this, literally dozens of other examples. And that's our Prime Minister. And then below that, treat others as how you'd like to be treated. A little article on how, by Georgie Binks, about how a woman was nice to other people and she got the niceness back. Classic stuff. And finally, a cartoon here that says navel gazing with three Canadians at an Olympic-style podium in cartoon form. The podium we do own. Quote, what's wrong with men's hockey? Person two. How can we win more medals? Person three. Sigh. So what an amazing, confusing mix of news, and yet here, the editorial cartoon on page 11 of the Metro suggests that our biggest concern is hockey and how the Canadian men's team will do. And I wish them luck. Every Canadian wishes them luck. I do not want the Canadians to have a poor showing in our best sport and have everybody around here get depressed. But let's keep in mind why these things are being given to us as priorities and what's happening with respect to the rest of the system and the situation we are in. But that's enough for me, folks. Again, it's your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, from 6 to 7 a.m. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays here on CKLN for your Rude Awakening morning show. Your host, Colin Smith, from One Flight Up, is not yet in the building. So what I'm going to do, after shouting out a couple of websites like TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com, TheFreedomLink.org, YouTube.com/SupportLocalScene, and the Toronto Street News, great newspaper on the streets, sold by the homeless in Toronto, for the homeless in Toronto to make some money, and courtesy of Mr. Victor Fletcher, the chairman of the board when it comes to deep research here in Toronto. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look for a jazz CD, and I'm going to try and find a jazz CD of Mr. Smith's show to see if I can give you folks something you're used to, just in case he does not show up. My apologies for him not being here. I'm sure there's a good reason for that. But in the interim, as your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, I'd also like to shout out to, for you folks out there, a couple of websites to check out if you have the time or inclination. If you don't like this information, I apologize. I don't like it either. But the reason I'm breaking it down is so that we can do something about it, as opposed to just learn to live with increasingly worsening conditions here in our Canadian culture. Infowars.com for a great daily news source. Naturalnews.com for your best source for health news. TrendsResearch.com and TheInternationalForecaster.com, two phenomenal websites on wealth. These folks have been right for as long as I've been looking at them, which has been a few years, and they're right in their predictions, they're right in their analysis of current events, and I'm not saying they're right 100% of the time. All I'm saying is they're trying to be right on behalf of us, and that has to be worth something. So here for the 23rd of February, 2010, this has been your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. You can find these shows at archive.org or radioforall.net. This one will be posted there shortly. I do apologize. I myself was late today, in part due to inclement weather, so did go over time and did manage to put in a full hour's broadcast. But again, your host, Colin Smith, should be dropping by the building. If he does not, we will find another solution for you folks. I'm going to leave you a bit of this information here. Have a happy Tuesday, everybody, and we'll see you soon, and we'll get some jazz playing for you shortly, if possible. Make sure you bathe in the fountain.